This is Kristen Nicole Young, and you're listening to the Headbands and Hard Truth podcast. And we're back with another part to the series. So we are going to just dive right in. This is part 7 of the End Time series. If you haven't watched the last 6 parts of it, you should go back and watch it on this channel and share like all the things. So anyway, let's get started.
Okay, so with this session, we're going to start talking about there has obviously been a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. Now, you have to go back, so hopefully you've watched all the sessions, but in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was told that there were 70 weeks decreed for his people, so the Jewish people, and that 69 of them would pass, they would start with a decree that would be issued to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, so that would begin the 69 weeks, and they would end with Jesus coming into Jerusalem to be crucified. So the 69 weeks began whenever King Artaxerxes of Persia issued a decree for the Jewish people to go back and to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, and that was in 444 BC. And then it ended, so that 69 weeks, which was 483 years, ended whenever Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to be crucified, okay? So, 69 weeks have passed. Now we're waiting on this 70th week to begin. So, in the last session, we just talked about there are some things that have to happen before that 70th week begins. And we know that that 70th week begins with the signing of the covenant of death, okay, where the Antichrist will sign a treaty, a covenant with the Jewish people, and that will be a covenant for 1 week, but we understand the week to be weeks of, a week of years, not a week of days. So 7 years, not 7 days, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's where we are. And so now we want to talk about why has there been the gap, okay? So we got to have some background information. And the first thing we're going to look at is John 1:11.
I'll read that.
Okay.
John 1:11, he came to his own and his own people did not receive him.
Okay, so who is he? It's Jesus. Jesus came to his people, who? The Hebrew people, and they did not receive him. Okay, he came as the Messiah. He came as God's provision, the sacrificial lamb, where they would no longer need the sacrificial system because he would become the sacrifice once for all time. And he came, and his people did not receive him, okay? So when you know and understand, that's part of our background information for understanding why is there this gap, okay? So he comes, he's rejected by his people, and so then the second thing we see as background information is that then, because they rejected him as their Messiah, they then experienced the curses that God had laid out in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 58 to 64. Now, we're not going to read all of that, but I would recommend that you go and read that. And basically what that is it's all the curses that if they did not obey the Lord, that would come upon them, okay? And ultimately, at the end of that passage, the ultimate curse would be that they would be torn from their land. They would be scattered, that God would scatter them all over the world. He would make them leave their land. And so they experienced that. Because they rejected Jesus as their Messiah, then we see in 70 AD, which was obviously after Jesus was crucified, that then the Jewish people were scattered all over the world. It's called the diaspora, okay? They were dispersed, they were scattered.
And destroyed, right?
And yes, and the temple was destroyed again, the second temple. It was destroyed in 70 AD, and God, he made good on his promise. You know, he had told them, if you obey me, you'll be blessed. If you disobey me, these curses are going to come upon you, and you're going to be scattered from your land. And that's indeed what happened. So the background information we're seeing here is that they rejected Jesus, then God... he scattered them from their land. They had to leave it. And then the next thing we need to know and understand is that God, then he extended his kingdom to the Gentiles to make Israel jealous. Okay, so do you want to read that? Yeah. It's so in Romans 10, verses 16 to 21, we see this. And Kristen's going to read that.
It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people.
Okay, so hopefully through that passage, you're seeing that what God does then, okay, because the people rejected Jesus, and then God scattered them from their land, and then God said, you know what? Basically, I'm paraphrasing here, if you're going to reject me, then I'm going to offer salvation to these other people. And to do what? He's not being spiteful, but he's doing it to make them jealous, okay? And not in a bad way, but in a productive way, mm-hmm. because they need to understand what they lost. They were the people of God. They were the people who were called out, delivered from bondage in Egypt. They were given the covenants. They were given the promises. They were given the commandments, all these things, the law. They were given that. They were called out as God's people, and that's no small thing, okay? And then they reject him, and they disobey him, and then so God says, you know, I'm going to offer my salvation to the Gentiles, okay? And again, for the purpose of making Israel jealous, to help them understand what they had done, mm-hmm. so that hopefully they would come back. Right, that they would return to the Lord, okay? And so then the next thing that we see in Romans chapter 11, and there's a lot here, but it's worth reading. So Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 12, and then verses 25 to 27. You want to read all that too? Okay.
I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and bend their backs forever. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? And then 25 to 27. Mm-hmm. 25, lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins.
Okay, so I would recommend that you go back on your own and read that as well. There's a lot of really good stuff there that you probably just want to take some time to just kind of soak in. And basically, what we're saying here, what is being said here, is that God has not forgotten his covenant with his people, okay? The people that rejected Jesus, the people that disobeyed him, the people that over and over and over spurned him and worshiped other gods instead of him, those people, he has not forgotten them. And because he's a promise-keeping God, he's a covenant-keeping God, and he will never break that covenant with Israel. So basically, he's going to come back around. Okay, right now, salvation is being offered to the Gentiles. And but there will come a time in the last days where he will come back to his people Israel to say, I have not forgotten you. Okay, and he will draw them to himself and help them see and understand that Jesus really is and was the Messiah. Okay, so that's our background information. Okay, and again, the question that we're asking here is, why has there been a gap between the 69th and 70th week? And so with that background information, we're beginning to understand that there's a twofold answer, okay? Because one, God is giving there's time. He's allowing there to be time to offer salvation to the Gentiles and to make Israel jealous, okay? So it's a twofold answer. We see a gap in the graciousness of God, okay? That's who God is. He's a God of grace and mercy. And in his graciousness and in his mercy, he said, you know what? I'm going to offer salvation to the Gentiles, but I'm also going to, in that, make my people jealous. Again, it's not out of spite and in a wrong way of making them jealous. It's in a productive way of helping them see what they lost, helping them see what they rejected, okay? And so that is why now we have this gap, okay? And we're going to get into, let's see, okay, time-wise, there's a lot of information here today, so we're probably not going to get all this done today either, but that's okay, because we will get it all done. So what I want you to understand is that as we're talking about this gap, okay, that we see in, so we have to go back to the Old Testament, and when we look at the feasts of the Lord, which hopefully you're familiar with, but if you're not, in Leviticus chapter 23, that is kind of a one-stop shop for the feasts. I mean, it talks about them in several different places in the Old Testament, but Leviticus 23, it gives all of the different feasts, okay? And they are called the feasts of the Lord, okay? They're not the feasts of Israel. They're not the Jewish feasts. They are the Lord's feast. Now, what does that mean? That means that they don't belong to a certain people. They don't belong just to the Jewish people, but they belong to the Lord and to the Lord's people, which, if we're a Christian, we're the Lord's people, right? Mm-hmm. So as we look at the feast, what we have to understand is that the feasts were a prophetic timetable, because the word for feast that we see, like appointed times, is used, that's the language.